Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce to you the non-football player from OU, Ty Darlington.
That was quite a thorough introduction. I feel like I need to refute multiple points there. I wasn't actually in the gymnastics video. I was producing it behind the scenes. Nila was the big Samoan dude with the afro. I was up there dancing. I was studying dutifully, and I received a call from Gabe Eicher, if y'all remember Gabe, who's also supposed to be very responsible, at like 3 in the morning to come pick him up from an establishment down on Campus Corner. And so I'd be a good teammate. I did that, and I ended up not getting where I needed to on my exam the next day, and that's what happens. But anyways, thank you guys for having me. I'm really honored to be here. I've never been this far up into the state, so it's good. It's cool to fly. We flew in on the little pump puddle jumper from Norman and made it safely. Thankfully, I had some knots in my stomach, but we made it. So now we got to make it back after this. But prayers for me on that. But definitely enjoyed being here. So sort of a little bit about me and a part of my story, and then I want to hear from you guys. I think y'all start thinking of some questions and stuff, because I always like to do that. But about me, so I'm from Apopka, Florida. I'm the oldest of 7 kids. My little brother plays football at Nebraska. So 2 kids from Florida end up out in the Midwest to play football, which is a little bit unusual. But my dad is a high school football coach. I have 2 sisters, three sisters, one that just graduated high school, one that is in high school right now, and then another one who is 9, Lily, bringing up the back. I have a little brother that's a freshman, so hopefully we'll be recruiting him to be a Sooner in a couple years. Not quite yet, though. But really, I tell people that my mom raised me right. My mom was on the Palm Squad here. She's from Del City. She was on the Palm Squad. She raised me to love Jesus, to love the Sooners, to hate all shades of orange. And that goes for... That started out as a Texas thing, and it was also the Oklahoma State. I was told that I could not go to either of those universities. It didn't matter if I didn't have any other scholarship offers. And then it's also recently extended to Clemson. So I'm going to have adopted them into the family as far as hating orange goes. But yeah, so I was raised to say Boomer Sooner and Texas sucks and all that. And I grew up watching Sooner football, and I wore my Rocky Kalmus jersey on game days, and then it became a Tommy Harris jersey when I got a little bit bigger. And I got into high school, and my sophomore year of high school, I was blessed to have an opportunity to come up to camp here. I was really undersized. I was honestly about the size I am now, but I was still playing offensive line, and came up here and was able to participate in camp here, and then I got the word that Coach Stoops wanted to see me in his office. And so I went up to Coach Stoops' office, and there he offered me a scholarship and told me he wanted me to come play for the Sooners. And for a guy that was a lifelong Sooner fan, that's a moment that I'll remember forever. I was absolutely elated, and I had a lot of other opportunities, and I let my recruitment go a little bit longer. I mean, Auburn, Stanford, Nebraska were some other schools I was looking at, but there was very little doubt. I think anybody that knew me knew where my heart was. My heart was right here, even though I didn't grow up here. I felt like I did. And so I committed to the University of Oklahoma. I came here, and for me, it was really about fulfilling a dream. I felt that God had placed a dream in my heart. To be a Sooner, to come here and be a Sooner, and he had given me an opportunity to fulfill that dream. And I was able to come here and do that, and I was able to have a heck of a time doing it. And during my career, it wasn't all pretty, it wasn't always all highs, there were lows twos, but I got to have a lot of great memories, and I was able to do things like I was... Like some of the accolades that he talked about, and making the all-freshman team as a freshman, winning a couple of Big 12 titles, and being in the college football playoff last year, and getting to be a captain on the team, and getting to go to places like Notre Dame and Tennessee and beating Bama in the Sugar Bowl. And I have a lot of great memories. A lot of great memories of my time here. And then when we lost in the Sugar Bowl in December, I was, you can look up the picture. If you Google my name, it's the first picture that comes up. It's of me like walking out the field. I'm just like blubbering. I'm just like a fat blubbering baby. I have eye black streaked all over my face. It's not a pretty sight. But in that moment when I was walking off the field there in December, I was upset and I was heartbroken, and not necessarily just because we had lost the game and the scoreboard said that we had lost the game, or even that we had lost the chance at the national championship, which is a dream that we all had. The real reason I think I was upset was that I lost a chance to have one more week with that group of guys, with my brothers. And I know that for the fans and for you guys, I mean, I know that you guys want the national championships and want the Big 12 championships, and that's awesome. That's what we want too. But with the truly special teams, it becomes about a lot more than that. I thought, and I was really connected to that group of guys, so I was upset there. And then sort of it was time for what's next for me. And I'd always dreamed to play in the NFL, but I also knew that was not going to be my long-term solution as what I wanted to do with my life. But I felt like if it was right there, I needed to at least see what it had to offer. So I was close to finishing my master's degree, so I stayed in Norman. I didn't leave to train. People go train in like Los Angeles or Miami or Phoenix, different places. I stayed in Norman and trained with our strength staff and went through the draft process and went to pro day and did all that stuff, and was told going into the draft process that I'd probably get selected in the back rounds, possibly be a priority free agent. And that was sort of where my stock was and where my prediction was going forward. And then draft day came. And which was a very, very humbling experience, because draft day came and draft day went, and I was sitting on my back porch with my phone in my hand, and the phone never rang. And for a guy like me, I mean, I started every game of my high school career, and I played a lot of downs here, and I had a lot of accolades attached to my name. I wasn't expecting that, and I never had to deal with a situation where it was like, wow, you know, you start dealing with this, where you start fighting those feelings of feeling like, man, I'm not good enough. For the first time in my life, I'm not good enough to play at this level. But God did bless me with opportunity. He blessed me with opportunity to go to rookie minicamp with the Tennessee Titans. And so I went a week later, I went out to Tennessee and really had a great 3 days. I was told to go come into it that they loved my skill set, the value that I brought to the offensive line, particularly the way I made my money, so to speak, in every area from high school to college to whatever, was that I was smart and I could tell everyone else what to do. That was sort of my value. That was my value to the offensive line. Look, I stand out like a sore thumb up there. I mean, you see all these guys that are 3 and 4 inches taller than me and 40 pounds heavier than me, and you're wondering, how did he get out there? That's because somebody's got to tell them what to do, right? So that was sort of my function, and that was what I was good at. But I played really well while I was in Tennessee. I thought I did. I played about as well as I could have. But then at the end of the thing, I sat down with the director of scouting, and he told me that, hey, we really like you. We like what you bring to the table. We think you've had a great week. But, you know, the but. But we already have a couple guys at center, and when we're really set at that position. So, you know, they told me that I would get other opportunities, told me that I was good enough to play in this league, that I was good enough to make a football team in this league, to do some more trials, and I was going to find a place to stick. But the thing that really blew me away was that by that time I knew within 24 hours of being there at camp that the NFL wasn't for me. And that is not anything against anybody in the NFL or anything like that. But I was overwhelmed with the business aspect of being in the National Football League and the reality of the fact that I was rooming with a guy from Long Island State University in New York, and he was really struggling with the playbook. And like I said, that's my thing. I can teach you that in 10 minutes. I can have you good to go. But in this situation, I can't help him. We're the same position. We're battling for the same spot. And so like the reality of that, of feeling like these guys aren't my brothers anymore, they're competition for a spot to collect a paycheck. And that bothered me. And then the fact that I sort of had the realization that I knew that in the National Football League that my ceiling was to be a practice squad player, was to bounce from team to team to team, to survive as long as I could and collect as many paychecks as I could before either my body gave out or somebody told me that's enough, we're going to go ahead and let you go. And sort of the conclusion I came through is I didn't want to survive. I didn't want to be a survivor. I didn't want to survive. I wanted to be in a position where I could thrive. And I felt like that wasn't going to be in the NFL for me. And that was a shocking conclusion for me to come to as a guy that played football my entire life. I mean, from the water boy to the ball boy to the manager, with my dad being a coach, it was football's always been everything. So I decided then that I was ready to be done, and that was a scary, scary conclusion to come to. Because then I've been talking forever and saying things like I'm not a football player, that I'm more than that. But now it's time to sort of test that out. How much do you really believe that? Because now, for the first time, I really am not truly a football player anymore. Just like I said, I always have never been. But what's cool, though, is I got to take some time to reflect this summer. And I came back to Norman, actually, coming back from Nashville. Was not planning to be coming back from Nashville. So I got back to Norman and was like, all right, what now? I don't have plans for tomorrow, the next day, or the next day. My only plan was that I was going to take a week and I was going to eat whatever I wanted. And it wasn't going to work out. And I was called it Fat Week, and I hit up all the worst, most deep-fried, sugary spots in town. And then I got to work on getting back to a normal human living weight. But anyways, I got some time to reflect, though. I got some time to really reflect on my experience at OU and who I am as a person. And when I was starting to think about my whole time, evaluating my time at OU and really what made it special, I started thinking about the reasons why I came to the University of Oklahoma in the first place. And I came to OU because it was a dream, because I was a fan of the school. I came because of the tradition, because of a chance to win a national championship. I came because of the coaches that were on the staff. I came because of the tangible things, because of the facilities and all that type of stuff. And when I sort of went back and started looking at what made my experience special, it wasn't any of those things. All the things that they recruited me with and that I got hooked on when I came on my visit here, that wasn't what made it special. And there's a couple things that made it special. It's really about opportunities, the opportunities that I got through the University of Oklahoma. And the first is the platform that I was given, the platform to make a difference. That I was able to be the president of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes for 3 years, and was able to count to touch a lot of lives and go speak at elementary schools and middle schools and high schools and get to touch people's lives simply because, not because of the name on the back of my jersey, especially when it started out. Nobody knew or cared who I was, especially as an offensive lineman. But the name on the front of the jersey gives you a platform and gives you a chance to make an impact that people, especially young people, will listen to what you have to say without even caring or knowing who you are or what type of credentials you have. You have Sooners on the front of your jersey, and that's all that they need to know. I was able to go to Haiti 3 times, and through with other student athletes from the university, I was able to work with SAC and the Student Athletic Advisory Committee and some of the community service initiatives that they do. I was able to develop relationships at the Children's Hospital where you can walk into a room and brighten someone's day who really needs it, and has nothing to do with anything that you said or did. It's because you play football for OU. And being a Sooner afforded me those easy opportunities, and that was one thing that made my time special. And then the next thing for me was the development opportunity, that I got to grow as a person exponentially, that I was blessed with opportunity to get involved with some NCAA representation. I got to go to Washington, D.C., San Antonio, D.C. again, Atlanta, Fort Walton Beach, Indianapolis. I got to fly all over the nation and doing student-athlete representation type work, where I got to be one of three voting student-athletes from the Big 12 that represents the conference to the Power 5, 65 schools. The way that a quick sub-lesson in NCAA legislature, but there's 65 Power 5 schools that each have one vote, and then there's 15 student-athletes that also have a vote, and I've gotten to do that this will be my third year, getting to do that and getting involved in that and getting to be an advocate for student-athletes and getting to learn more about the process and learn about what makes the student-athlete experience here and around the nation so incredible. I got, like was mentioned, with the SAE incident and all the tension that was on our campus, that was a very difficult thing to deal with, but it ended up, when I look back on it now, it was so difficult, but it was the most rich, enriching leadership experience I think I ever possibly could have walked through. And I learned so much about myself, I learned so much about my teammates, I learned so much about what it takes to lead, and I was able to develop in that way. And then again, with the Student Athlete Advisory Committee, being able to work in that organization, that sort of parlayed into what I'm getting to do a little bit now. But lastly is what made OU special is more than anything else, it was the people. And I'm a big believer that the people are what make anything special. And it starts from the top down and trickles down from President Bourne to our athletic director, Joe Castiglione, who has been, like, he's been a mentor to me, and he's been absolutely spectacular to me in providing me opportunities for my own personal development, to our head coach, Bob Stoops, to Lincoln Riley, to Bill Biedenbo, my position coach, to my teammates. It was the people that I was around that really made my time here special. And it's not just the people that, you know, that impacted me, but, you know, all the people that I was able to have an impact on, all the relationships I created because of the interlocking OU on the side of that helmet, and all the pathways that it opened for me. That went both ways, too. I impacted them, and they impacted my life in an incredible way. So, and that's what I think is what's so special about Oklahoma. I think that Oklahoma, in Oklahoma, the greatest resource is the people, and that the people here are so incredibly warm and hospitable, and you guys are such a huge part of that. And I thank you for sort of adopting me into your family a little bit, unofficially. I've sort of looked at Oklahoma as a second home since I was a kid. And now, when I say I'm going home, I'm talking about I'm going back to Oklahoma. So thank you for making that experience possible for me.